Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
I got to just wrap my mind around the idea that Dane Dunning is going to be an answer to part of the problem. And then I think to myself, Jimmy Lambert, Carlos Rodon. Like, do I want another guy coming off of surgery trying to ramp up? Maybe start him if you got, like, the first game of a doubleheader. Through three, okay, here we go.
Let's look at this, because I don't think you need to necessarily, if you're the White Sox, do anything you wouldn't be comfortable in doing under ordinary circumstances, because you do have options and you do have a shortened season. And you do have a deep bullpen, so you could get away every fifth day, perhaps, with taking an unorthodox approach to it that start. So if it's a combination of Gio Gonzalez and Ross Detweiler and Evan Marshall and whoever else may fit into that equation, I think that's the way you try to fit it.
When is the last time that the White Sox, you thought they could go for it a little bit and get a veteran pitcher and bring him in, and what did you give up for that? I don't want to see that happen, okay? Don't give up some young teenager that's going to wind up in a BMW commercial.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Baseball Central of America, for the love of God, David. Our teams can't stop winning.
Morning, Mully. Yes, Baseball City, USA. A lot of ninth-inning drama last night. Closer concerns on the north side. And I think that Alex Colome for the White Sox gave you a little bit more excitement than maybe you bargained for, but got the job done. One-run victories for both teams. And, yeah, look at the Cubs. Look at the White Sox. Boy, I mean, 9-2 and 7-4. What's not to like?
Yeah, you know, I think that the closer by Novena might not be something to like, but other than that, other than the multiple days of praying it's going to take to get us through these ninth innings, I think things look pretty good. And boy, the Cubs are just a juggernaut. Even if they are hanging on for dear life, they're knocking the ball all over the place, and you've got to enjoy Jason Kipnis coming in. He had a home run. You know, Willie Contreras, that, all he does is hit home runs. Hayward hit a home run. Come on. There's a lot of dingers going on. They're still waiting for the one that out in Milwaukee that Aloy got a hold of. That thing hasn't landed yet. That was a moonshot. I mean, you want to talk about a bomb. That was one there. So I think there's a lot to like in Chicago baseball. A lot of, you know, one-run games, especially when you feel like you're going to do a little better than that, Cubs. A little bit disconcerting.
Well, the common thread last night, and I think maybe to both of these teams' fast starts, there are a few of them, but I think one of them last night was the strong defense. You saw Mazzara in right field make a running catch. You saw Chris Bryant make a diving stop. And both of those plays were really important in a one-run game. And I think you maybe are looking at the Cubs situation, and it does remind you of the fast start and the way they won in 2016. That was the last time they were this good this early, and that was the last time they were probably this good defensively. They lead baseball with, if you love your metrics, and we know you do, Fangraphs says that they lead the major leagues with 15 defensive runs saved, and that's a sign of improvement. And so I think that there's a lot to look at with the Cubs improving defensively. They're starting pitching again with Kyle Hendricks was strong, and they don't get, you know, here without having the production at the bottom of the lineup. You referenced Kipnis. 7, 8, 9 hitters for the Cubs are on fire. So it's a complete team, and they have a manager, you know, pushing all the right buttons, with the exception of maybe last night, but he's definitely doing all the right things. Just ask Theo Epstein.
Well, yeah, no question about it, Theo.
Anyone who knows Rossi knows that.
Yes, Theo knows Rossi, and Theo talking about it. We'll get into what that means in the larger picture, but he also talked about the fact that he's sticking with Kimbrel, and Rossi isn't going to turn his back on him. And so there you saw Kimbrel again. He takes over to begin the ninth inning. They got a 5-2 lead, and you're thinking, well, this is a good spot for the guy to pick up a save. You got plenty of wiggle room here, and the next thing you know, he's being yanked out of that game because there's not much you can do when a guy is surrendering runs and doesn't look like he's going to get you out of the inning against a team that's not very good, let's be honest about it. And so Kyle Ryan ends up coming in and allows one of those runs. It's charged to Kimbrel, and Kyle Ryan gets his first save. But, you know, it's just you're sitting there chewing on your nails at the end of that game because – at the 5-2 lead turns into 5-4 with a danger, really dangerous situation to close it out.
Well, Molly, I said this the last time Craig Kimbrel threw batting practice. You know, I would not put him in that situation again. I would have deprived him of the chance of to hurt the Cubs again. I would have gone to somebody else again, but he didn't. David Ross decided to give Craig Kimbrel another shot, a 3-run lead against the Royals at home. Those are the most ideal conditions you could ask for to try to see what's left in the tank for your $43 million closer. I mean, I understand the thought process, and I understand actually David Ross giving a veteran another chance. Okay, David Ross tried. Craig Kimbrel failed. Next. You got to move on now. You can't really do this again because you owe it to the other guys in that clubhouse to make the right decision and put your team in the best situation to win. And Craig Kimbrel trying to pitch ninth innings just isn't that situation. It's just not feasible anymore.
Well, there's two guys going tonight, and it's going to be interesting to see which one you think's more important. You got Yu Darvish against the Royals. You got Jose Quintana in the 2-inning simulated game. Which one jumps out at you?
Well, I think it's a fascinating dilemma what to do with Quintana if he looks good, right, and he's ahead of schedule, because now you've got 6 starters. The White Sox can't find, you know, 4 because of injuries. But I think with the Cubs, you just these things tend to take care of themselves. It'll be a nice problem to have if you have to decide between Alec Mills and Quintana. Tonight, the bigger start, actually, you're with a 9-2 record. I think that I'm most curious about how Quintana's going to look, because I kind of want to know how they're going to handle that. And you also trust Darvish, you trust that starting rotation, but both will be intriguing tonight to see what happens.
Yeah, you should be able to have some success against the Royals, against that lineup. You would hope that he will put on one of those classic performances and we'll get second half you. Quintana, you're right. I mean, Alec Mills, you think, okay, you can move him into the bullpen. He's going to help a ton. But he's done very well. I mean, do you it's the old do you lose your job to injury thing. And I've always felt that, yeah, you can lose your job to injury. It's just whether it's right or wrong, if somebody comes in and they're hot and you feel like you've got something good going, it's always a mistake to try to mess with that. And God knows we've seen that reinforced thousands of times in every sport.
In that conversation, urgency trumps injury. It just does. Yes, so if you are rolling along and your rotation has been historically good with the start that they've been off to, I don't know that you want to change anything, but it does give you options. I don't know that Jose Quintana is a guy that you would bring out of the bullpen. He's really never done that. I have to look to see if that's something he's done even in the playoffs. But you are in a sprint, and now you're there's only, in air quotes, only 49 games left. And so I wonder if, you know, it's a luxury. Is this something that you don't want to call a problem, because it's a good situation to be in if you're the Cubs?
Yeah, it's a good thing. The Sox, boy, I mean, listen, they are in win mode and it is great. And they won their sixth in a row and they came from behind to do it. And it was a 3-2 victory, and you feel great about it. But they come out of there with two more injuries. How are they getting hurt? I mean, I watched the Madrigal slide into third, where apparently he hurt his shoulder. I watched that about five or six times to try to figure out, how does that happen? And I got to ask you, how does that happen? Edward Encarnacion. That's like, that guy is like as old as me. That's like me going up to bat and trying a violent swing and wrecking my shoulder. That I can understand that one. Not with a professional athlete, but with a human being. I get that. But my God, to lose two more guys with everything that's going on around the White Sox, how good they have been. It's just a total drag.
Yeah, you're right about Encarnacion. I mean, you figure he's the guy who's rubbing himself down with CBD lotion after the game because he's got all these aches and pains and his lower back is hurting. But Madrigal, just, he landed awkwardly. And Mully, until I've read or heard on the Twitter machine and then postgame from Ricky Renteria, I thought it was his wrist, because that was the one he had injured at Oregon State. And you worried that, oh my gosh, he broke his wrist. He just got up here. He's hitting 300. Now what? And it was a strange slide. I was even more surprised that Ricky Renteria kind of reamed him for running when he shouldn't have been running after the game, calling it an unwise decision. So you hope he's okay, but it did look like he knew immediately that he had hurt himself.
Yeah, I mean, how are you okay? I mean, unless you got a trick shoulder and they can pop it back in, and Houdini's going to get out of another, what do you call it?
Straight jacket.
Jesus.
I'm wearing one, so that's why I know.
You know what, though? With that hair, you look good in it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I just don't know how you're okay after that. But
He'll be fine.
Slide. I'm with you. I did think, and Stoney said he jammed his wrist. It looked that way. I guess the wrist bone connected to the arm bone, connected to them bones, the shoulder. It was really a weird play all the way around. I didn't know why he was running either, and that's a drag. It just takes away a little bit from the momentum of
it. It does a little bit, but you mentioned Aloy. He hit that one to Green Bay practically, you see the clutch hitting they're getting. Abreu comes through the top of the order. Luis Robert has another stolen base. Goodness sakes. So I think that they are in a position and put themselves here to withstand these kind of minor injuries. Don't get another pitcher hurt. You can't afford that. Bring those guys back. I was a little encouraged, were you, Mully, to hear that Carlos Rodon is on the injured list for 10 days, but they don't talk about that like it's a serious season-ending kind of thing.
I saw that. I saw that it was 10 days. Jimmy Lambert started out on the 10-day, and then they moved him to the 45. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative, but it's just that didn't look good at all when the guy goes two innings and he's throwing in the 80s. He starts out. I don't know.
Can I make an observation?
Please.
Okay. You look at injured White Sox pitcher, and he is patient zero, and you have him following the same path of every White Sox pitcher that has had surgery. And so you have one guy, if he gets injured, he goes to the 10-day DL, then he goes to the 45-day DL, then you have him missing until the next season.
That is an overreaction. I'm merely saying that just because he lands on the 10-day DL doesn't give me this, oh, well, he's going to be back faster than Tim. I'm sorry. That's just not the way I'm going to respond to it. That one looked bad. And when you got a guy coming off Tommy John surgery and he has to go out, build my confidence, fella. No way.
At least they have Ross. At least they have Ross Detweiler, who is still there and doing a little bit of everything. And at least they have guys who are stepping up. That bullpen is really, I hesitate to say the strength of this team because they're hitting so well, but the bullpen is very good and bailed them out again last night.
Yeah, they managed the three runs last night. So, I mean, they're hitting enough, but I'm just delighted that that's not a full strength lineup for the Brewers, because that's worrisome to me. It's good though to go in to Milwaukee and win a couple of games, and now Milwaukee comes down here to Chicago. Where are you at with the Cubs weekend series? Are you feeling good about that one, David? The Cardinals, their COVID-19 outbreak, the team has been cleared to travel, so they can return and they can get back on the field after quarantine and negative tests. But the fact is that they're going to be pretty shorthanded, right? Yadier Molina, one of the guys that tested positive, Paul DeJong, the Cardinals, who else did they lose? Carlos Martinez. There are a lot of Cardinals, seven players and six members of their traveling party, six employees all told, and some important players. And now I guess it's time for baseball again, and the Cubs are headed to St. Louis. You know, bring your mask, have it in your pocket in case someone gets on base, right?
Absolutely. I think you have to take some extra precautions, and they will. But I believe that the Cardinals also could be rusty, and the Cubs could be going into St. Louis, and these are difficult circumstances and just kind of the realities of this sort of truncated season. They've been through a lot. They've been through maybe not what the Marlins have endured, but certainly close, and you feel bad for everything they've gone through. We're looking forward to talking to Bernie Miklas later about that, but the Cubs maybe catch a break going into St. Louis because they're going to have a shorthanded Cardinals team, and the Cubs, they're just rolling right along.
Big game tonight, buddy. Puck drops at 9:30. It's game three, crucial game three between the Blackhawks and the Oilers. We'll get to that. We'll get to all of it next. We've got our pick six. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-KARS, the number 4-KIDS.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you have any idea what Theo Epstein meant when he lauded David Ross for his treatment of Craig Kimbrell and said, Rossi has his back, he's not going to turn his back on him while he goes through this?
Yeah, I think what he means is that that David Ross understands that there's still a lot of money left on that contract, and you don't throw out a guy who's had the success that Craig Kimbrell has had in his career, and they feel that there is some kind of mechanical issue and there's just some things he's working through, and he's breaking down the video according to Theo. But I would say that he understands the value of the player, be it the importance of the position and his previous success, or the commitment financially that the team has in him. So I think he's doing exactly what Theo wants him to do, and that's why you say he gets it and he's not going to turn his back on him.
It's a tough balance to strike, though, Mully. I think that that's what he was also referring to. You know, when Craig Kimbrough made his major league debut in 2010, David Ross was the catcher behind the plate with the Atlanta Braves. When Craig Kimbrough was trying to get back in baseball and picking a free agent team and trying out for teams, David Ross was the guy scouting him for the Cubs. There's a relationship there that maybe complicates things or adds another layer to it, which I think maybe also you have to always remember when how to deal with Rossi and Kimbrough and talking about it, because there's a sensitivity that may not necessarily always factor in. And I think that David Ross has balanced that pretty well. He went to the mound last night when he needed to go to the mound, and he took him out because he wasn't getting the job done. Not a lot of discussion, but this was the right thing for the rest of the team. But what Theo was referring to was he will have his back. He's not going to embarrass this guy. He's a proud veteran, and I think that he also, though, with that in mind, is going to make the right decision for the Cubs overall.
During a 37-minute Zoom call, Theo Epstein spent much of the time praising manager David Ross and specifically lauded Ross for addressing some things that have lingered for years. What do you think he was referencing? And was that a veiled swipe at Joe Maddon?
I don't think you could look at it any other way if you're a Joe Maddon guy. I mean, if you look at everything that is said about David Ross, you could interpret it as a veiled swipe at Joe Maddon. I don't think it was intended that way. I don't think Theo Epstein operates that way. That seems very petty to me. Although it's impossible not to compare and contrast because of the way that the Cubs have responded and they're 9-2. And why did David Ross replace Joe Maddon? Because it was about increasing the urgency, the intensity, getting rid of the complacency, and increasing the accountability. There's a lot there, but I think that's exactly what you're talking about and what he was referencing. And that's why he went out of his way as much as he did to praise a guy who has taken a football mentality to a baseball team, and you're seeing the results in a 9-2 start.
It's really a really non-sophisticated way to look at this whole thing.
Look, I think that when you break it down, Ross in this idea of the urgency of bringing this sort of football mentality to baseball, this idea of every practice counting and every game counting and all that stuff, it's the perfect situation because of the season as well. So the Cubs, like everyone else, have to get off to a fast start. And you got a manager who you brought in because he's going to bring a little discipline, because he's going to give you that sense of urgency. So these two things meet, and the Cubs are running away with their division. And there's all sorts of problems for all these other teams. And the Cubs are the only team without so much as a positive test before it starts here, right? They are the only team that has been absolutely clear on this stuff, and it is laudable. And I think that the fact that they're winning and Ross is doing things differently and showing that mentality is exactly what he's talking about here. I don't know how you stay away from the comparison to Joe Maddon, because he's the guy that had the job that you took over, and it was always going to be there, and he's coming out favorably in that comparison to open the season. As simple as that.
Are there positive tests, or the lack of positive tests because of Rossi? You think?
No, I think I think in part it's the seriousness the Cubs are taking this.
Dr. Rossi
yesterday. I think it has to do with what the pitching staff witnessed with Tommy Hotovy, and understanding kind of the seriousness of the issue. And I think it's also, you know, Ross talking to guys that he was teammates with and friends with and explaining that yet again. And it's the age of the players and the seriousness and the understanding that they have to get off to a good start. But I think all those things together, the maturity of the team, is an important factor there. And they've avoided any of these things that we've seen with some other teams.
It's picked off. They're going to come the other way. And this is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
With Carlos Rodon joining Reynaldo Lopez and Jimmy Lambert on the injured list and Michael Kopech having opted out, who should be their fifth starter? Do you worry more about overtaxing Ross Detweiler coming off hip surgery or Dane Dunning coming off Tommy John? And would you advocate making a deal?
I do not advocate making a deal. I want to get that out first. Do not make a deal. There is no need to make a deal. It is a next man up mentality, and you go through the guys that are there. If you have to use an opener, if you have to figure out use a young guy coming out of Schaumburg, whatever it is you have to do, I do not want them to make a deal. I want them to understand that, hey, if it's not our year, it's not our year. If we come up short here, that's just unfortunate because we got a lot of really good things on the horizon. If they're going to make a deal, then package Ryan Goings and Louis Bissap. Oh, never mind.
Oh, never mind.
Don't make a deal.
No.
Okay? Don't make a deal. I don't want that to happen. And I would say if I'm choosing between Ross Detweiler and Dane Dunning, I'm worried about Dane Dunning coming off the Tommy John because we know Michael Kopech opted out in part, and not the primary reason, but in part because of the quick ramp up and coming off a shoulder injury, a Tommy John surgery. And we know the two guys that that had Tommy John surgery, like one Dane Dunning, those guys are already on the shelf. We'll see how long for. So I worry about that. Ross Detweiler, how old is Ross Detweiler? He's been around a long time. He's got to be in his early 30s.
34.
34. Okay. So is he a part of the long-term future? I think you'd be more likely to see what you have with Ross Detweiler here than try to Jimmy Lambert, Dane Dunning.
Yeah, I'm not worried about overtaxing Ross Detweiler. I'm worried about Ross Detweiler staying consistent as you overtax him. He's there to be overtaxed. I want to take a deeper look at Dane Dunning. How healthy is he? How available is he? How effective would he be? I don't look at the White Sox injured pitchers and see one guy. I see them each as individuals, Molly. I do not follow necessarily the logic of I understand caution, but I don't worry so much that if you bring in Dane Dunning that he's going to suffer the same injury fate as Jimmy Lambert or Ronaldo Lopez or Carlos Rodon. If he's healthy and he's good, put him on the mound. I don't think that it would hurt you to take a look if he is ready to go, because at this point in time, you know, you just take a – you want to see what you have. Detweiler gives you some options. Gio Gonzalez is a guy whose flexibility will come in handy. But I am with you 100%. Do not make a deal. Do not give up a prospect. You are in a 60-game season, and you are ahead of schedule this year. If you believe that, then you preserve that, and you look ahead at this bright future and keep it bright by protecting the players who will be part of it down the road. Think big. Think in the future. Don't worry about the present needs dictating your future path, and protect your prospects.
Intercepted. There goes Eddie Jackson to the 10. 5. End zone. Touchdown. Pick 6. Wow.
After Blackhawks interim president Danny Wirtz told NBC Sports Chicago he was committed to GM Stan Bowman and his multi-year contract, who is the Chicago sports executive whose seat is the hottest now, who is most likely to leave, and are they the same guy?
Well, I think that Ryan Pace was the guy with the hottest seat now. I would have said Stan Bowman before Danny Wirtz removed any ambiguity. That was a vote of confidence, and that was a guy basically saying, I'm in charge now of the business operations. I have my hockey guy. And the speculation. And Stan Bowman, I don't know that he deserved that, but he has definitely been a guy that they rely upon. And moving forward, he's kind of removed from the hot seat. So I think Ryan Pace is on the clock now. I think it's a playoff or bust mentality, depending on how you want to look at it. But I don't think that the McCaskies look at it that way necessarily. I don't think Georgia McCaskey thinks that Ryan Pace is on the hot seat. But let's talk again as this moves forward and revisit this in January, certainly. Who's the first guy, the next guy most likely to leave among Chicago sports executives? Theo Epstein's out of contract in 2021, and I fear the day, and I dread that day. But I think that he may have bigger and better things ahead of his future. So he might actually be the answer to the latter part of that question.
Yeah, I really like the question, first of all, because I think it makes you sort of just do a little kind of mental trip through all our teams and try to figure out who's going where. Look, I mean, I don't know that anybody felt the Bulls were going to make a move, even though the Bulls probably really needed to make a move, but they did make a move. And so that gave you the feeling, as you often get in the NBA, that anything is possible. And you look at the Bears and you say, wow, you know, let's see what happens this year. You are in the midst of this pandemic. Are they going to play? Is it better to keep continuity? How are you going to work through some of the issues? But I would have to think that Ryan Pace, as much as I don't believe he's under a ton of pressure right now, I would have to think at some point you got to look at that if they don't win this year and say, okay, this was a bad idea. This is not going well. And he could be that guy. But I'm with you, David. I think that Theo Epstein, every time you hear him talk, every time you kind of watch him, Theo can do anything. How is the challenge going for Theo? Does he feel, you know, I'm sure there was some unfinished business, but you got to wonder what he wants, not just with his baseball team or in baseball, but in life. Seems like there's a guy that can do a lot of different things, and maybe he wants to get on with it, or maybe he's comfortable, but I think that's the great uncertainty.
Batted at the line of scrimmage, batted back and picked off. Can you believe this? Pick six, Anthony Harris.
What do you make of the Athletic report that there is a growing belief there will not be a second bubble for the eight NBA teams, including the Bulls, that are not in the Orlando bubble? Does that put those teams at a competitive disadvantage, and is it the right move?
Unequivocally, it's the right move. Unequivocally. I don't want to see the Bulls. I don't want to watch the worst teams. Does it put them at a competitive disadvantage? Unequivocally, yes. It puts them at a terrible competitive disadvantage.
I think that you're right. It does. They're behind the eight ball. But and you look at the teams like the Suns having off to a good start in the bubble, and young teams benefiting from this experience that could have been the Bulls. It wasn't. They're at a disadvantage, but there's nothing that you could tell me that would make me believe that getting eight NBA teams into another bubble is a good idea in the midst of this pandemic and then looking at the numbers. So I think they're doing the right thing. The bubble seems to be working down there in Orlando. I don't think the NBA should mess with a successful format right now. No, don't do it.
And it's intercepted. Poorly thrown ball. Marcus Williams to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, and a touchdown. A pick six for Marcus Williams.
Reports say the Big Ten will release its schedule today, along with medical protocols. Commissioner Kevin Warren has been speaking with athletes via Zoom. With so many football programs affected by positive tests, shutting down workouts, what is the right move for the league?
I think a lot of leagues around the country are waiting to see what the Big Ten does. I give Kevin Warren credit for reaching out and trying to let these athletes be heard. You're looking around the country. There's some real problems at programs, college football workouts, and coaches being accused of things that would be really just above and beyond. And it's just really upsetting when you see what's going on nationwide with college football athletes and workouts. So I think the Big Ten releasing a schedule today might be a little optimistic. It might be a little tone deaf. I don't know that you can do this in the midst of all these positive tests and all these programs shutting down. Rutgers and Michigan State, it's been the most serious, but you look around, you don't have to see very far. You know, Evanston for finding positive tests and adjustments to this. So I would think that this is all headed toward whatever happens with the schedule release. You got to really consider moving college football back, either a delayed start or even looking to the spring, because that to me would be the smartest, safest way to approach this.
Look, I've never felt that they were going to get the college season going. I think it's a real difficult thing to do. I think it's a really difficult, you know, I don't want to be negative about it. I just think it's, you know, a very hard thing to control. Given all the circumstances, I think it's going to be really difficult to get college going. And I wonder about the game itself. I wonder how many players who would be drafted into the league are going to be willing to actually play. So I think the opt-out could be a much higher number, and probably should be a much higher number. In the NFL, I think they'll get going. I don't know that they can get the season in, but I think that they are hell-bent on trying. So I think it's two different games, two different sports. I worry about college football, and I don't know that they're going to make the correct decision on it, but I don't know that they're going to be able to avoid the correct decision eventually, and I worry for their college season. I don't think so. All righty, that is our pick six. We've got a lot of fun left for you today. We're going to get to it next. Molly and Hall on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Swing and a smash. Backhanded by Bryant at third. Throws to Rizzo. Cubs win. What a finish. Bryant a diving stop. Backhand behind third. An absolute bullet hit by Bubba Starling. Bryant quickly made his second great defensive play of the night. He made a backhand stop as he dove for it. He got up and threw his man out at first. And the Cubs hang on to win by a score of 5-4. What a finish.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. What a finish is right. We're delighted to welcome in Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Morning, Mark.
Well, what a finish, just like Pat said, huh?
I got to tell you, it should have been easier. I don't know what to say, but, you know, we were talking about it a little bit. You got Theo praising Rossi for the way he's staying with Kimbrel, and then I'm telling you, you could hear the loud groan on Twitter when Kimbrel came into the game. I don't know if it was palpable in the building, but my goodness gracious, that was frightening.
Yeah, even after the first out following Perez's single, I mean, once Mondesi ripped that one down the line, you saw the ivy flying. You knew this is going to be a high wire act, and I'm sure even though they're happy to win, this one probably made them sleep not as well last night.
But Mark, having David Ross go to the mound and remove Craig Kimbrel in a way that I think represented everything in a microcosm, what's happened the first 11 games and because of David Ross's presence, was that the kind of thing Theo was alluding to before the game when he praised Rossi for addressing things that, quote, have been lingering for years? There was no let's wait and see where he goes next. There was no let's give him another chance. There was direct accountability to the fact that Craig Kimbrel was given a chance and couldn't deliver.
Yeah, you nailed it. You know, he had a 3-run lead, but he had 3 outs to get and only got 1 of them. So I think the main theme is that David's changed the culture, which I don't think was necessarily hard to say you were going to do because Joe was his own guy and won his way to a certain extent. But the things like being more hands-on, you saw it right there. Also, you know, David behind the scenes, you know, patting guys in the back or letting guys know, hey, this is not acceptable, step it up. We saw it in the summer workouts where he was constantly talking, going out to a position and talking to a guy during a scrimmage. You could see it with your own eyes, and I'm sure he's more hands-on behind the scenes.
I don't come away from that game necessarily thinking, are the Cubs ever going to lose? I come away thinking, are the Royals ever going to win? It's a good opponent to work out some issues with. No offense to the Royals, but it seems to be a fact.
No, great point, because these are games you have to win. No offense to the Royals, but you got to take care of business. I mean, last year we saw too many times where the Reds would steal a win or two away from the Cubs. You know, even the Giants, I think in San Francisco, they took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs. And those are just not acceptable. I know it's only a 60-game schedule. Things are different now, but if you want to be a championship team, you got to win those games.
So, Mark, Mully asked a really fascinating question earlier today, and I had to think about it. Which start are you more interested in, or more? Which start is more significant to the Cubs tonight? Yu Darvish or Jose Quintana's simulated game?
Well, I think it's more Darvish. I think Quintana's still got a few hurdles to clear right now. That's down the road. I know it's fascinating to speculate to see what happens once he's ready, but I think right now you got to take care of business. And we've seen Darvish in the last start be a lot better, but you know, my issue with him now is just that tempo. I mean, even though he pitched well last Friday, the tempo was, you know, borderline unacceptable. And, you know, guys probably not going to get much sleep. You know, they flew out last night. They didn't fly out this morning. They flew out last night. So different schedule, different environments. So for them to stay sharp, they're going to have to rely on Darvish to be very, very sound and crisp.
When you look at him and think about him, we've talked about this idea before that, you know, it's great to have a dozen pitches, but you really kind of need just three. Just concentrate on getting those ones correct and stop tinkering. And he is a tinkerer, and he's a thinking man's pitcher, and sometimes he thinks himself into different issues. Other than that, is he okay? I mean, other than his own getting in his own way, what do you see from him?
Yeah, I see a guy that otherwise is fine. I watch him, you know, go over and cover bases. There's no lapses. He's moving well. But it goes back to, you know, pitch selection. I know when they signed him, I talked to an international scout who just said he's just got to stick to, you know, three pitches and fine. And goes back to saying what you just reiterated, is that he gets too carried away sometimes with throwing more pitches and therefore his sharpness wavers. Certainly the guy's talented. You see how when he's on, he's unhittable. He's as tough as anybody to face, but he's his worst enemy at times when he starts walking guys and starts, you know, missing on two strike counts and, you know, a three pitch at bat becomes six or seven and can't put away guys. It's mystifying, but this is who he is. I just wish the tempo for everybody's sake would be a lot quicker.
Mark, I don't know if there's a clear answer to this, but last night you saw Chris Bryant making a diving stop to save the game, and you look at the metrics, and the Cubs lead the league with 15 defensive runs saved. Why are they better defensively this year?
Probably, I think, more of an awareness that they had to get better from last year. It's not an indictment on Brian Butterfield, who some people think is best infield coach around. I just think you know, repetition has paid off for these guys. They're out there doing more early work. I'll say that. I think last year there were times where, and even the year before, there were times where guys needed early work improvement, and it wasn't there. It was just true style, thinking, hey, save your energy for the games, trust in the back of the baseball card. But there were just too many lapses. And I think in the case of Bryant and even Bodie, who wasn't that good at third, I think they've really stepped it up and played well. And I think a lot of it has to do with the early work and repetition, especially in Chris's case. I mean, those plays were not easy, and yet he made him look like a guy who's a gold glover over there.
As great as the season has been, as good as they have played, and they're stringing together wins, and I think everyone feels good about it, the bullpen issues, it's just obvious they're just still working through everything. And that's baseball. I mean, you know, they had a lot of new guys here, so they're shipping people in and out and looking at people, but they don't seem to have the same kind of established roles that you would like or that you normally would see from a team. And again, it's such a weird season that maybe we'll never have that, but it just seems like it's a bugaboo that's out there that hasn't been resolved. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think the big thing to keep in mind is that how long can this rotation sustain its success? I mean, they lead the majors. I think their ERA is 2.01. But then on the flip side, you look at the bullpen, and it's worse than the majors, you know, near eight ERA. And you just got to, if you're a Cub fan, you got to cross your fingers hoping that there's some balance coming sooner, or at least the bullpen steps up, because, I mean, you can't rely on the rotation to give you six, seven quality innings like they've done, and I think the roles have to be more defined. I think that's starting to come in place. You see where Jeffers being, you know, the setup guy. I don't even use him as a closer right now, sharing the duties with Rowan Wick, but, you know, Kyle Ryan's another guy. His velocity's been way down. I think I saw his fastest pitch maybe was 80. Hit 87 once, was mostly in the 85 range. And, you know, Gordon hit a hard ball last night, lefty. Those are things you got to be concerned about. Not as worried as you would about Kimbrel, but, you know, Ryan's a guy they have to lean on quite a bit. And if he's having trouble, then you're in a heap of trouble. So they got to cut down the roster before Thursday's game. So you're going to have addition by subtraction, but still, the guys that survived that cut got to step up, because it just seems like too many times they get a strikeout, a ground out, and then there's a walk and a hit. Nothing's been clean for this bullpen.
Mark, Jason Kipnis came back to Chicago for more than a victory lap for his career and a sentimental journey. He's been really good in limited action. Do you think he expected or will get a more expanded role, or do you think that this is the right mix of having him kind of fill in there because he has been hot and with another home run last night?
It's the right mix right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets more playing time just because he's got the hot hand when he starts. I think his production when he starts has been very, very impressive. And, you know, you don't want to stunt Nico's growth, but right now Kipnis is swinging the hotter bat. You might see a situation like you do in left field where Kipnis plays for 6-7 innings and then Nico comes in for defensive purposes. But I think right now you might see a little bit more of Kipnis, although they're facing a lefty tonight and the rookie Chris Bubich. But I think Jason's deserved just a tad more playing time.
It would appear that Major League Baseball is anticipating or hoping to have everybody in action on Friday. Do you expect the Cubs to be in St. Louis? Is there concern? What are they saying just kind of internally about this idea of, I think it was 13 COVID-19 infections with the Cardinals, 7 among players?
Well, I think first of all, I think MLB will kind of spin the numbers saying it's really 7 because the guy's playing. But nevertheless, it's in the back of the players' minds, and I'm sure they'll come to the forefront now that they're in Kansas City, you know, what awaits them the next 2 days. And I think Theo pretty much summed it up by saying the plan is right now we're planning going to St. Louis, but at the same time we're going to listen to Major League Baseball, stay in touch without telling them what to do, because I think the protocol measures have to be ratcheted up, not for the Cubs' sake, but I think for MLB's sake.
Great stuff, Godzo. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. You
Take
too.
Take care, guys.
You too, buddy. That is that's great stuff. Always fun to talk to Mark Gonzalez. And, you know, that's a big decision, the St. Louis thing. I mean, I think they'll do it. I think they'll go. I think they'll play. But I think if I were them, I'd be a little bit cautious and a little bit afraid.
Well, I think you play this entire season with that sort of sense of anxiety. Right. And I do believe that Rob Manfred does sound determined. When we do get to hear what he has to say, he sounds like a guy hell-bent on finishing a season that he started and almost determined to the point where you wonder what's driving this, because there are concerns that are legit. And
ooh, St. Louis is on the place I don't like to play.
Yeah. Different scenario and context this weekend.
For many reasons. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, the Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.